There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day, 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 and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Welcome back, everybody. It's so wonderful to be here, and thank you again for all of those people who've been reaching out and who are really enjoying the first episode we did last week of Embodied Intelligence. I'm very excited, actually, about this series. There's so much in it. And I feel like as I'm designing the podcast, I'm learning myself. I'm literally embodying the knowledge that I'm gathering for you to share with you. And for those of you who missed it, last week we did episode 1 of 9 for our Embodied Intelligence series. And it really is like a roadmap for learning through the body, with the body, as the body. And it's something that I feel like is a missing link, something that in traditional education doesn't necessarily seem to have a lens on at the moment. And last week we looked at awareness, that we're more than a physical body. There's so many different layers to our beautiful bodies. But today our topic is going to be about safety. Safety creates space. It's more about the nervous system, really, because that is the gateway to learning. And there's a lot of information coming out about the nervous system. Some of it I agree with, others I don't resonate with, really, but I do know that this is a secret ingredient, and it's something that many educators and parents out there, you might not even be aware that you know this, but you do know that when children feel safe, then they're free to allow themselves to grow and to learn. And when they're not feeling safe and they're in that fight, flight, or freeze, then the learning is compromised. And that's basically what the whole topic is about today. What I'm going to do is start with a story, because that's what we do here. We tell stories. That's how we learn, of course. And it was an experience that I had many years ago. It was well over a decade ago. But it did, it has stuck with me, and it actually did shape and change the way that I was teaching at the time. It seems like lifetimes ago now. And that was two boys who were outside at lunchtime on the oval, and they were playing football. And they got into it. They had a massive fight. It was a big punch up. It, you know, one of them almost got suspended, and it was really quite intense. And you know, there was a lot of swearing. There were feelings hurt. There were punches thrown. You know, and when lunch ended, and whoever it was, the playground teacher on playground duty, thought that they had dealt with the issue, they sent them back to class. They sent them back into my classroom. And I didn't know what had happened at lunchtime at that day. I wasn't aware because I wasn't there. And this was something else, which is why I started to do circle time after lunchtime and check back in. We started doing yoga and breathing, and all sorts of different activities came from this one incident that happened to me this day. And that was when both of these boys, they would have been in grade 7, so probably about 12 years old. One of them was physically larger than me. He was taller than me. And I had asked them to, we were doing science experiments, like really great science experiments. We had them set up all around the classroom, and they were working in a group together, in a team together, because, you know, they were mates. And from my perspective, I didn't know that anything had happened. From the teacher's perspective that was on playground duty, as far as they were concerned, the situation was over. And these boys came back to class, and everything, first of all, appeared normal. Yes, they looked all hot and sweaty, but that's what you do when you come in from lunch and you've been running around, which is great. But they really struggled to focus. And one boy got really quiet. He just withdrew. He was very distracted. He was quite defensive and he just withdrew, which was not like him. He avoided my eye contact. He just didn't want to contribute to the task. He sort of j just sat there, and I was wondering, why isn't he engaging? Why are both boys not in concentrating? And why aren't they participating? And so the question wasn't about, though, the attention. It was more about the motivation, because their nervous systems were still responding to what happened at lunchtime. And I know that, well, I now know, at the time it didn't really occur to me, but the body doesn't always move as quickly as the timetable does. Minds, and logically it might have been dealt with and moved on, but their physical bodies were still carrying that energy of the incident of what happened at lunchtime. And the lesson had started, but the learning task was ready. The activities were there. I was ready. Everyone else was in the class. We're having a great time. We were doing lots of fantastic things that ordinarily these boys would have really gotten into, but those boys did not feel safe being together in such close proximity. Their nervous systems were really more focused on protection, psychological protection as well, and their curiosity. Their learning, it just took a back seat. And it wasn't until later, when everything came to light, that I sat down with them and we came up with some strategies of what can we do. I shifted a lot of things that I did teaching in a classroom, and had lots of discussions with the class around what can we do about this. This is our space. And how can we go? So we did a lot of circle time, a lot of discussion, a lot of negotiation. But this one incident really shifted how I saw things. And this is something that I carry forward even as a parent. I know that as a parent, when you have a discussion with your son or your daughter, it doesn't mean that they move on so quickly. Their nervous system still needs to integrate, and they need to feel safe. And in this world today, with uncertainty and turmoil globally, all over the place out there, now is the time to really have self-awareness of what our nervous system is telling us. It is communicating with us. And that's why the big question really is today, because the generations, four generations, we have focused heavily in education in particular on intelligence. It's all in the mind, it's neuroscience, getting ready to learn, all of those sorts of things. How smart is the learner? How capable are they? How much information can they retain? But this story that I've been sharing with you, this lived experience that I'm sharing with you, really had me wondering if I was asking the wrong question. And really, I started asking myself, well, does this learner feel safe enough to learn? Safe might not even be the right word. It could be calm, at ease, but I'm just going to use safe for today, so that we all know what it is that I am communicating with. And so, traditional education models assume that learning happens primarily in the brain, that attention is a choice, that behavior reflects the motivation, and that more effort, pushing, 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 will produce better results. There's no way I could have asked those boys to have more effort and really push them. Their nervous systems were just in overdrive, the state of the nervous system. That was a powerful factor that I had overlooked that day, and have completely redefined the way that I look and feel in things, including myself. I'm very self-aware of my energetic state and when I need to regulate myself. And there's lots of tools, which of course I'll put in this week's article, activities that you can use in order to get yourself back into that state. And I've taught myself, Well, we usually were taught on how to focus on the how, and not necessarily the solution. And the solution to this state is us. We are the solution, feeling safe. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about, being a victim archetype or a martyr archetype. I'm not into any of that sort of rubbish. It's just our physical body and understanding, comprehending our nervous system. My brain at the moment is just really worrying. I've got all these ideas and things and thoughts coming through. So I'm f actually feeling a little bit scattered. I'm just going to take a deep breath and just ground myself and bring myself back into presence so that I can better navigate the flow of this conversation for you. Okay, that's better. All right, so I really wanted to then lead into the nervous system. It is constantly scanning our environment. Yes, back in caveman days, we talk about the era with saber-toothed tigers and having to worry about physical threat at any given time. I understand there's a lot of history there, but in today's society, we don't have a saber-toothed tiger around the corner. Well, you might. Might be you possibly, but in my environment, there's not one there. But when I go into classrooms today or any sort of learning setting, it's more psychological safety that I can see children and I can feel children's energy scanning for. And it's not asking, the nervous system's not asking, what can I learn today? It's asking, am I safe? This goes for people who are healers too. All types of healers, not just physical healers, but if the man or the woman or the being is not feeling safe, they're not going to release, they're not going to heal, they're not going to shift. The body will only allow, learn, shift, heal, move, transform, transcend what it feels safe to do so, because the body's doing its job, it's doing what we've asked it to do. And this scanning happens automatically, without conscious thought. Thousands of times every day. You're doing it right now. Wherever you are right now, your nervous system is designed to protect you. This is not a flaw. This is amazing. It's a gift. And it's a brilliant survival mechanism that humans have had. Most of human history, detecting danger quickly helped us survive, literally. But the challenge, though, is that the nervous system often responds to emotional, social, and psychological threats in very similar ways. If someone says a critical comment or if they're rejected from something, sometimes children, even receiving feedback on their work, sets them into threat state if they do not trust the teacher or the mentor. So there needs to be that relationship there, that feeling of trust and knowing that the feedback that we're giving is because we care and we really want you to be able to improve. Children or teenagers that have ever been embarrassed go straight away, their nervous system kicks in. Conflict, as you can tell by the memory that I shared with you, and then of course uncertainty. We know as teachers that it's very important at the beginning of a lesson to let children know what to expect. I always have a visual timetable, something that children who struggle to focus can go back to and go, okay, what's next? What's coming next? Because when that they don't have that unknown, they know what's happening, they know the routine, particularly younger children love this, that uncertainty goes away and the nervous system can settle because they feel safe to learn. And the body can react as if it is calm enough to learn. The body's not reacting as though danger could possibly be present. So there's something that I have learned as an adult over the years, and that sometimes I have to learn to discern within my body, what is it that I'm picking up? Is this even mine? Because when I have discernment of this, how I'm feeling, am I, because I pick up on other people's energies very, very quickly, and I often have to tune in and go, okay, was this my feeling or am I just sensing something else around me? That discernment really helps me have my own coherence within myself. And then, when you have coherence, then you have self-trust. And when you have self-trust, then I feel safe to contribute, to learn, to experience life and explore. And I hope this is resonating for you. It really is something that I know is not discussed very often in academic circles. We're not in a formal setting, but I'd really feel like the nervous system really needs to be front and center because it shapes everything. It can't just be about neuroscience in the brain because our body is part of the learning and it remembers as well. Because, when we feel safe, the curiosity expands, creativity definitely increases. I know it does for me. That means that the memory will improve, our problem solving will strengthen. You've seen many, many movies where they're in the climax and something exciting is going to happen. I don't know, they're going to defuse a bomb or they're going to about to go into battle and they have to center themselves, breathe and come back and center themselves before they move. The mind becomes clear and they're able to problem solve. The connection deepens. And it's not just connection with themselves, it's connection with the unified field around us, the elements around us, which is part of our biofield. It blends with us. We are all connected in that way. When we are feeling unsafe, or when learners are feeling unsafe, their attention really narrows. Their thinking becomes rigid because they go back to old programming that they know because their body feels safe. What they know feels safe. So for you to try and change paradigms or explore or introduce new concepts or skills for them, their learning will decrease because their survival response has kicked in and has increased. The body prioritizes protection over growth. And our mind and our body sometimes do not align. The intention might be there, but the body's telling you something different. So that's why we need the coherence within our body. And this definitely applies to children, absolutely applies to adults. I know it applies to me. And it also applies to every learning environment. If you have children who are going to a learning environment and they do not feel safe in that environment, then they are not going to have the depth of learning, true learning, that they are or we are seeking. And so the learning environment also is part of this. It's not just people, it's also the relationships with the world around us as well. Consider a country that's at war. Those children don't want to go into a classroom and learn, they're in survival mode. The danger and the threat is definitely sometimes physical. It's not always psychological. So then that got me curious about ancient wisdom, because I like to look at ancient wisdom meeting, the modern science of today. And many indigenous cultures really understood something that the science today is increasingly validating, and that is that learning occurs through relationships. You think about real estate, it's all about location, location, location. Well, when you think about learning, it's all about relationship, relationship, relationship. Relationship with yourself, of course, comes first and foremost. Know thyself is the most important thing that you can do, investing in yourself. You have to live with yourself for the rest of your life. So it's an absolute investment. But also the relationship with your family, your community, and the community is, it could be the schooling community, the homeschooling community, the home community, any type of community that you're in. Groups and sporting clubs, and all of them are small communities. And having relationships in that sense of belonging and that sense of safety, is really important in that space. But also the relationship with the land and the relationship with nature. If there's a storm, if there's a flood, if there's some sort of natural disaster coming around, then that's going to affect as well as feeling safe and knowing what to do when any of these things happen. Knowledge is rarely separated from belonging. And I feel like the belonging is a huge part of regulating our nervous systems. It's essential, in my opinion. Observation, story, participation, connection. These are all things that ancient wisdom really championed. They had them at the forefront. It was embedded in everything they did, every conversation they had. It was that the connection had to be there, and the learning happened within a field of safety and within a field of relationship, because that's just the way that it was. Today, the nervous system science, if I can even say it that way, I don't know if that even sounds prim and proper. It's helping us to understand the why. Humans left learn best when they feel connected. End of story. And this also then ties into universal law, and that would be the universal law of rhythm. Nature moves through cycles. You breathe in, you breathe out. It's, like an activation, a recovery, expansion, contraction. The nervous system does all of that as well. So the law of rhythm fits in with the nervous system. So then you're thinking, oh gosh, she's rabbiting on a bit today. I do like to rabbit on, totally get that. But what does this mean for learning? Because that's why we're here, All Learning Reimagined, of course. Well, if you think about two learners, take two learners, if they're receiving the exact same lesson, have the same teacher, the same resources, the same curriculum, the same environment, but one learner feels safe, this is in their comfort zone, they're feeling safe, and the other one is feeling anxious, they're worried. The outcome between these two learners becomes dramatically different. And it's not because one learner might be more intelligent, but it's because the nervous systems are operating from different states of being. The state of being is really at the forefront. And this is what shifted the way that I was teaching way back then. I really made sure that it wasn't ready to learn, as in you have all of your equipment and your mind is ready to learn and open with your intentions. It was also the state of being. And not just of the learners, of myself, because I knew if I wasn't grounded and ready energetically, they would be picking up on my emotions and my feelings and my moods. I can change moods just by walking in a room. I have seen it happen time and time again. So when I am feeling in a really good, grounded state, the lesson and the learning go so much better. And so having that self-awareness as an adult is a vital part to the learning as well. So when I think about these two learners, one being anxious and one feeling safe, this understanding really invites compassion, for ourselves and for the children, or just for each other. Because, sometimes you might look at a child, and I have heard other adults say, oh, they're just lazy. Maybe they're not lazy. Maybe they're just in overwhelm. Maybe they're just so overwhelmed they don't know where to start. What might appear to be resistance could possibly be that child's protection. So I'm choosing to shift my own lens at the way I see people, and release that judgment that I used to have as an educator many, many years ago. I very rarely find myself in that state anymore. I see things so differently. And sometimes what might appear as lack of motivation could possibly be the nervous system is asking for safety. And that's the main message that I really wanted to share today, in this episode, our embodied intelligence. Last week, we looked at awareness is more than just the physical body. And this week, that safety creates space. It's creating that space. Next week, we're going to move on to connection, how we're connected by design. We've got nine in the series, and it's really good, and they build on each other. So I did want to share with you a couple of real life examples, and I also want to give you a micro practice, something that you can do right now. It's very simple in every day, and you can do this, take this, and do it with others. Or you can do it with yourself. And for those of you who are new listeners, hello, welcome. I write an article each week, and I usually put at the end of the article activities. They are lived experience activities. They're things that I have experienced myself or observed over my 30 plus decades of being an educator and in this space, and a parent. And I'd really love to share that. So it's a matter of if you're really interested, you can find the article and then take it and explore it and embed it. It's all free. You can go to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. You'll find all of the archived shows there. And every single show, if you scroll down further on the page, has an archived article that matches it. So I do invite you to go and investigate. Okay, so putting this into context, here's a couple of examples. One, students, possibly adults, that freeze during exam, and yet you know that they know the content. They know it backwards, but they go to an exam and they freeze because the fear kicks in. And regulating emotions can be challenging sometimes. Being exposed to circumstances and learning helps that. So they need to be feel comfortable with going into those exam conditions, which means you need practice. They need to feel safe in that environment. Life's not a walking exam, but there are situations when you do need to refine, you do need to know, you do need to act under pressure. For example, a doctor in an emergency ward needs to learn how to act under pressure and not freeze. If you are, I remember going camping when I was young and I went wandering out. Of course, I was looking for a waterfall and a huge dog came at me. It was growling at me and I thought it was going to attack. I was so scared at the time. I think I might have been something like 6 or 7 years old. I was only very young. And this situation had me thinking under pressure. I needed to think clearly and determine what it is that I was going to do, and I did handle it quite well at the time. Basically, the dog was fine. It turned around and it walked away. I didn't react at all. I just spoke very calmly and very gently. I've taught children in London. I taught in London for 3 years, and I worked in I guess you could call it ghettos, really, the areas in London where they couldn't get teachers, and some of those schools that I worked in had permanent supply teachers because teachers just wouldn't stay because the environment didn't possibly feel safe to them. It was really quite a crazy, crazy world back then, and this was, over 20 years ago. But I've taught children in London who used to come to school and they had no food. Sometimes they'd slept on the floor in their apartment block or hid under the bed because their parents might have been entertaining people, and they didn't feel safe. I had one young girl who used to always say that the other children didn't like her, and she used to say that they told her that she smelled. And my heart just went out to this young girl. And so, I had a fruit bowl, I bought washers, I bought toothbrushes. I had a whole little area in the classroom where she could come in before school, get clean, have something to eat, have acknowledge her, and she really shifted how she saw herself and her behaviors changed. And she really came out of her shell, and her whole learning and relationships with others shifted and changed, and she thrived because she felt safe in that environment. She might not have felt safe in the home environment, and that was a whole nother conversation, but these sorts of stories, these sorts of environments and situations are happening all of the time. And I cannot expect children who are living these conditions to turn up and be academic. It's the whole Maslow's needs, of course. We come back to it. All right. So safety scan. Basically, this is where you take deep breaths, you get your spine straight, neck long, feet flat on the floor, you ground, connection to the earth, you roll your shoulders back, open up your chest. Now, we're not going to do it now. I don't have time to do it in depth, but the instructions for it will be written in the article. And basically, you just get the children or the learner or yourself to notice things, observe. Notice how your body feels, five things you can see or hear or touch or smell, and one thing that you can appreciate. So it might be five things you see, four things you hear, three things you can touch, two things you can smell, one thing that you appreciate. And this simple practice brings you into awareness, into the present moment, and safety begins noticing where you are. The body really responds to it. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. I have so much more to share. I'm going to leave you with this last comment, and that is when you speak to yourself, your own voice feels safe to you. So I often get children to talk to themselves out aloud. If I am talking to them, it is different to them talking to themselves. The body responds of, oh, this is a voice that I know, a resonance, a frequency, a vibration that I know. This feels safe. So that is another little tip that you can choose to use as well. It's very important. Okay, I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you. Carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.